Hola, amigas y amigos. Welcome to the Mírala podcast. I'm your host, Ariana Lemos. This podcast is by women, for women, and anyone willing to listen to women. Enjoy the show. Isabel Grace is a woman-owned florist business. Aside from making beautiful bouquets for every occasion, she and her team plan events to help you celebrate all of your family celebrations and milestones. From baby showers, birthdays, graduations, and weddings, Isabel Grace is a proud sponsor of the Mírala podcast, providing all of our guests their favorite arrangement of flowers. In this episode, I interview Erica Washington. Erica is a multimedia, community-driven journalist based in Los Angeles. Formerly known for her collaborated stories on the podcast How to LA, she's grown a local and engaged audience through her journalistic storytelling. As a former teacher, she is passionate on reporting stories centering students and marginalized communities. You can find her work on the New York Times, PBS NewsHour, and Time Magazine. Let's welcome Erica. Thank you for tuning in to the Mírala podcast. Today, I'm speaking with journalist Erica Washington. Hey, girl.
Hey, Ariana.
How are ya?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really happy to be here at the Walk House speaking with you, and we're going to be having a very powerful conversation about politics. So you have been a journalist for how many years now?
I've been a journalist, a professional journalist, for about 5 to 6 years.
And what has the journey been like for you, being a woman of color in the media?
Yes. So it was quite a long journey, actually. I didn't start off as a journalist. Even though I went to school for journalism for undergrad, back when I was a little 18 to 22-year-old, I decided to go the education route. Mm-hmm. I became a teacher for 2 years in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. So I taught little Black, Latino, and Southeast Asian students in Houston, Texas. And then I said, well, I always had the goal to go back into journalism.
The seed was planted.
Yes, the seed was always planted because I wanted to see what it was like to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And then report on the inequities that I saw in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So that was always my trajectory, and I was able to do just that.
Yeah. Not only have you become a journalist, but you also have the background of being a teacher.
Yes.
So what was that experience like teaching in Texas and teaching these, marginalized communities of children?
It was rough. I'm not going to lie about that. Mm-hmm. If anybody's ever watched Abbott Elementary, I don't know if you do.
Yes, yes.
It was kind of like that. It really was. I love that show because it accurately and, in a funny way, talks about the problems of the education system, like the lack of resources that a lot of teachers have. And you have to fight so hard to get what you need for your students. Mm-hmm. And that was a daily struggle for me as a teacher. I had many students who had special need or who had special needs, and there weren't enough resources for them. So I had to do what I could. Right. there are so many challenges that I want to write a book about one day. I definitely saw the need for more support for young teachers who are getting into the field, as well as support and love, counseling for our Black and brown kids. Mm-hmm. It's so important for them, especially nowadays, to be educated effectively with excellent administration and teachers and support staff. Mm-hmm. They definitely need more.
Yeah. So having that experience as a teacher really motivated you to get into journalism because the seed was planted, like we said. And now that you're a journalist, what has that experience been like?
So after I graduated from grad school, I went to Columbia in New York, and I went through an education journalism pathway there. I did an education journalism internship still in New York with the Hechinger Report. And then I moved to Austin, Texas to mm-hmm. become an education reporter. And being a journalist in the past 5 years or so has been, it's been a whirlwind of a journey. It's been enlightening. So when I started off mm-hmm. professionally, within 8 months of working at my job, I was laid off. And it was during the beginning of the pandemic.
Wow.
And so I didn't know what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And I was growing in my job. And for a time, I felt kind of stunted and stuck where I was mm-hmm. Professionally. And then I had a few good opportunities freelancing. Mm-hmm. I was able to get an article published in the New York Times and PBS NewsHour and Time Magazine, two articles in Time Magazine, and then several news publications across the country.
It's incredible. So,
yeah, it was really, really amazing to get those opportunities, still reporting on education, mm-hmm. Like what I love, yeah. You know.
And that's your platform, you know, being a journalist with a background in education.
Yeah, yes.
And how do you use that background in today's climate with everything that's been going on with the election and how you've been processing all of this?
I speak to students. Mm-hmm. I actually spoke to some students that attend historically Black colleges earlier this week. And they're journalists, young student journalists. And I told them, like, look, I know it's heavy. You feel heavy. You know, your hearts are heavy right now with the election. Yeah. But we need you. We need journalists more than ever now, especially diverse journalists, Black, Latino, Indigenous, mm-hmm. Asian, all of us. Diverse even in ability, mm-hmm. you know, diverse in LGBTQ+ communities. We need diverse in every single way, you know, to show that we are important to society and we're not going to back down. Like, we belong here. We matter. Our livelihoods matter, our family, friends, our legacy matters. So I think in the past few weeks and all of this journey, as a journalist, a Black woman journalist, working class, I grew up in a working class environment. The work is even more important right now.
Right.
Because of what we're facing, and it's scary times, but I hope that we all feel motivated to establish community.
Correct.
With each other, you know, and educate each other.
Mm-hmm. I really love that you say that because I feel, in my belief, that this election is a reflection mm-hmm. of the consciousness of where we are as a country, you know, to elect somebody who is a man, who is a felon, who has all these other labels attached to him. Like, that just goes to show you where we are in our country and the lack of education that we have. So speaking to our listeners who are predominantly women and women of color, how can women get more civic education in today's climate?
I think it is paramount. It is so important for women to do their research on Trump's policies. Mm-hmm. On what he plans to implement. A lot of his own policies are not that clear, but you can look at Project 2025 from the Heritage Foundation, and you can see that those are some of the things that he's in alignment with. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Project 2025, you know, they plan to eliminate the Department of Education. Mm. Reproductive care, you know, there's going to be many restrictions on that. It's a long list of things mm-hmm. That will be a challenge to a lot of women in America. So I would definitely say do your research on Project 2025. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say to think about where you are in your life. Because the honest to God truth is we'll always need reproductive care. We'll always need health care. Our healthcare has always been just really misogynistic towards us. Like, it's always been behind when it comes to research about our bodies. And it's also been very abusive historically. And so a lot of the things that we need for us, a lot of that important healthcare that we need, there's still a lot of catching up to do. It's an absolute shame that Black women are dying three times the rate of white women when it comes to Black maternal healthcare. Like, think about where you are in your life. Doesn't matter what stage you are, you're going to be affected by these policies. And to really do your research, like, I like following the 19th, which is a news organization that specifically reports on women issues, and so, and LGBTQ plus communities. So I think that's important to do your research. I think it's important to also not only think about yourself and where you are in your life, right? Like, do you want kids? Are you about to go into a next stage of menopause, maybe? Or, you know, are you at that age of your life where you have to get screened for breast cancer, mammograms, you know? And really think about how these policies can affect you, but also think about how it's going to affect your friend, your daughter, your mother, everybody around you. It's going to affect everyone.
You touched on so many facets. No. Take up the space. This is what the podcast is about. Mírala. Look at her. Look at you. Look at what you're doing for the community. Look at what you're doing for women, you know? And I let you speak on what you were speaking on because it's truth. And it's things that we don't necessarily talk about. It's not conversations that you typically have at a dinner table, at a dinner party. But I think now more than ever, we have to be having these conversations. And it starts this year, now, going into the next 4 years. How, as we, as women, what are we going to do these next 4 years as a collective? And I think it's so important, the work that you're doing to educate these women. So you mentioned the 19th. This is a news source. This is a website, a podcast. Like,
a news source.
It's a news source.
Yeah, nonprofit.
And I love that because I didn't even know about that, you know? And I hope that my listeners really take advantage of listening to this podcast to educate themselves about Project 2025. Because like I told you on our phone call, I'm not really a political person. I don't really love to talk about politics because it's so divisive. You know, I was very vocal during the 2016 election year. I was very vocal during 2020 about Black Lives Matter, and I lost friends. I lost family, you know, and it's unfortunate. But I think when you speak your truth, that is like the most realist authenticity that you have. And I think the people that are meant to be in your life will be in your life. And sometimes we do have to let those relationships go that no longer serve us, you know? This election for me was all over the place. And if I'm being really transparent, I was a little bit more quiet than the years I have been in the past because I don't really consider myself a Democrat. I don't really consider myself a Republican. You know, predominantly my family is Democrats. But I think so much of the divide between Harris and Trump was the fact that there was no separation between her and Biden, you know? And I feel as though like a lot of Latino women, or I feel like as though a lot of Latina women, a lot of Latino men, and you see it now with the statistics, like they were the ones that came out and supported, you know, the Republican Party. And also men, like as a majority, to see a man, a felon, a business owner become president. Like, if that is not a silent war on women, like, I don't know what else is. So what are your thoughts around that?
So I went to a watch party a couple of days ago, and I was just talking to people, and they expressed similar concerns that you did. Like, they were frustrated by the fact that this is a woman who has served all three branches of the government. There's a woman who, you know, she's had an upstanding record, highly qualified, and she lost the election to someone who was convicted 34 times and is a felon and
all the things,
you know, has lied, has been liable of sexual abuse. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
When we talk about Donald Trump. And I think that there's a lot of frustrated Black women specifically, but also other women. It is a representation. It's not representation. I'm sorry. There's a word I'm trying to use.
That's okay.
But it basically is it symbolizes the actual journey, the actual barriers that Black women have in regular society.
That's what I was saying earlier in our conversation. Like, this election is a reflection of how women of color are seen. You could be the most qualified, you know, you could have your resume, you know, allow you to, you know, that your resume alone says that you are for the position. But we are still in a society in this country where if you are a white man, regardless of what you've done, like, he will take the position over a woman who is obviously more qualified, you know? And I think that's sad. And I think together as women, like, we have to rally and we have to be having these conversations. And I hope more women podcasters do have these conversations. It's uncomfortable, but it's needed.
Welcome to The Walk House, a thriving mental health and wellness center nestled in the heart of Valley Glen, California. We provide culturally sensitive therapy, energy healing, and workshops tailored to the unique needs of teens and women of color. The Walk House is also a perfect rental location for your next event, workshop, wellness retreat. It features three offices, two bathrooms, a cozy living room, library, and kitchen. And our private yoga studio is fully equipped with blankets, yoga mats, everything you need to have an amazing wellness experience. We're excited to welcome you to The Walk House.
So how can you educate us and our listeners of going out into the community and having these conversations? What are some ways that people can have civic education today?
That's a good question. I think the first thing I would say is really think about your own biases. When you talk to other people, I know it can be very hard. I would actually preface everything I say by taking deep breaths, doing some yoga, going to therapy, okay, before you engage in any conversation with people who may not agree with you, or even people who do, you know? But take care of yourself first. Really think about what you value, but also come with an open mind. With things that you read and conversations that you have. I would say follow credible news sources, credible sources, and make sure that you fact check the information that you read or that you watch or hear. I like to follow, as a journalist, I like to follow Cal Matters. Mm. They report on statewide issues. I like to follow Elias, which is the local NPR affiliate in LA that I used to work for. Mm-hmm. I like to follow Afro LA, which I currently work for. I like to follow LA Public Press. They're independent. They do good work as well. I have a few journalism friends that work there. LA Times, you know, that's the legacy news organization that we usually follow. Subscribe there. What else? Oh, KQED, they do great work. EdSource. There's a lot of like local California and LA County places to look into, as well as national. New York Times, I always like to check in to see what they're covering.
What I'm gathering is independent news sites.
Yes.
Is the way to go.
Yeah.
So instead of turning on the TV, and your mainstream, you kind of support and subscribe to those independent news sites.
Yes, for sure.
I agree with that. Yeah. I think like a lot of things in the mainstream can be swayed, right? And I know for myself, like I try to stay away from watching mainstream TV just because energetically it just puts me in a very like negative state of mind. And I think taking everything little by little, you know, so like tuning into these sites and reading as much as you can because it just consumes you, right? And like you said, like doing your breathing, doing your yoga before you get into these conversations, but having these uncomfortable conversations is going to solicit growth and change. Being a journalist, handling your criticism when you cover controversial topics, how do you handle that personally?
Handle criticism? Depends on what kind. It does. Is it constructive? You know, when people write me emails and, you know, they're saying, oh, Erica, you forgot this, or, you know, you should mention this. If it's constructive, then yes, I'll take heed. I'll listen to it. But I've also had people online who would say really meaningful things, racist things to stories that really have an impact. And I felt so confident in my work and the good things that people were saying about my work and how it has made an impact that I just ignore it. So it depends on the criticism. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that I have not received like assaults or abuse online or just anything, stalking, nothing, knock on wood. Hopefully that never happens. I just ignore.
Yeah.
Especially if I can. I mean, I'm going to ignore. Or, you know, if it's constructive, if it's valuable criticism, then I will definitely respond and respond appropriately.
What are some changes that you hope to see in the media?
I am worried about my industry. We are the only profession. The press is the only profession in the Constitution, in the U.S. Constitution.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Because we are essential to democracy and to ensure that we still are practicing democracy in this country. Mm-hmm. We hold the powerful accountable. That's our job. Mm. We're supposed to be looking out for the least, well, this is a biblical term, the least of these. But we're supposed to be watchdogs to the government. You know, we're supposed to make sure that the most marginalized people have what they need in a society and that this democracy is fully lived. And when I see our industry crumbling, I get worried when I see the fact that, you know, Washington Post, the LA Times, the billionaires that own those news organizations make the stances that they have. It concerns me.
Mm-hmm. It almost seems like there's an agenda they're trying to be pushed. So eliminating the workers and the voices will help solicit to push that message forward to the masses.
Probably. I mean, Jeff Bezos.
So going back to following and supporting those independent news sites and organizations and subscribing, because I know there are a few like All Sides subscribed to in the past, and supporting those independent journalism, supporting those independent journalists, I think would be the best advice that we can give all to the Meet a Lot listeners.
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I still think it's important to subscribe to, you know, LA Times, but also those independent places too. Make sure that you're getting a full diet of news intake. And make sure you don't drive yourself crazy because sometimes it could be overwhelming. I would also say make sure that you're distinguishing between what's fact and what's opinion. Op-eds, essays, their opinions. Editorials, endorsements, those are opinions. Mm-hmm. They're separate from the newsroom.
Right.
That's why I still say subscribe because the stories that you're reading are from the newsroom. Those are from the journalists.
So this conversation has been a lot, right? But I think it's needed and it's the work that you do. And I can't imagine doing this every day, but I'm giving you your flowers, both verbally and physically. So shout out to Isabel Grace for getting Erica her sunflower flowers. Why are sunflowers your favorite flowers?
My favorite color is yellow and gold. And I actually have the sun on my shoulder because I love sunshine. and you can't knock the sun off of me. You can't knock my joy if it's always on my shoulder, if it's always around me. So, yeah, I love being joyful. I love being happy. And that's what yellow reminds me of.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and educating us, you know, about all these topics. Quickly, before we wrap up today's episode, I want to talk about social media. A lot of Gen Z get their news from social media. What is your take on that?
Yes, I actually talked to some Gen Zers a couple of days ago at a watch party, and they told me just that. They get a lot of their news from social media. And to be honest, I do too. I'm a millennial, so I'm a little bit older, but I do too.
Yeah.
But guess what? Make sure I fact check it. You know, I'm not just listening to somebody ramble about whatever.
Opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I make sure I fact check what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because there's so many opinions out here and, you know what they say about opinions, right? So I make sure that I fact check. And also as a journalist, I want to encourage everybody to follow the news sites, social media. Pretty much every news site has social media accounts. They have TikTok. They have Instagram. They have
YouTube Shorts.
They have YouTube. And some of them are really good at it. I know Washington Post is really good with their TikTok. And LA Times is really good with their Instagram. So be able to, I want to make sure that people follow these news organizations, social media. So it comes on your feed and you're like, oh, okay, I can check this out. I can fact check what I just read right here, you know?
Yeah, no, that's really good advice because it's great, you know, Gen Zers to get your news information from social media. But if you're following a certain influencer, I think to, like you said, it's important to go to that news station, social media page, and then kind of have discernment and then
and Google
up. And Google and Google it.
But also make sure that when you Google, it's like this, there's so many steps to Google. And I think with Gen Z, I think that they grew up in a time where information is just given to you.
Right.
You know, and it comes so quickly because back in my day. Okay. We had encyclopedias, you know, we had books that we had to look through. We had the libraries, the Dewey Decimal System.
Oh, we just lost the Gen Z already.
You know, we had to actually do research with tangible books and write it out on paper. And now we have AI. We have ChatGPT and people put things in there and then boom, you got your essay.
Yes.
No, I think my biggest takeaway that I want to tell people is please, please start using your brain a little bit more. No, I mean, for real, think about what you're reading. Think about what you're intaking and say, you know what? I need to read more about this. I want to go to the library, go to the library, pick up a book. Yeah. I know it sounds archaic and maybe, but it's like our memory bank, our memories are changing.
Yeah.
You know, if you really think about it, I was talking to my dad recently, right? And he was like, Erica, how many numbers do you remember right now? I was like, only my mama's. Like, I only remember my mom's number. Right. But there was a time when we could remember like 20, 30 numbers, you know? And we had Rolodexes and we don't have that anymore. Like, yeah, our memories have changed over time because of the rapid growth of social media and
technology
and everything. Yeah, well, so I would encourage people to.
I was going to say, I challenge all my listeners to memorize 10 numbers out of your contacts.
Yeah.
Wow, this is really great, Erica. Thank you so much. You are a delight. You are a joy. You are sunshine.
Thank you.
And I wish you well on your future endeavors. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Meet Aloud podcast. If you are a woman and would like to be on the show, go to meetaloudpodcast.com. Follow us on socials at Meet Aloud Podcast. Use hashtag Meet Aloud Mondays. And if you want to support the show, subscribe, share with your amigos, and tune in for new episodes every Monday. Muchas gracias.